the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire. Kerr's Hire again, Kingy? We are. Thanks to Jim and the team there at Kerr's Hire. Back for another season, 2026, the Cat Attack Cod Pod? Cat Attack? I've got a bit of allergy, Kingy.
The cod part.
The old cod piece. Have you ever worn one of those?
No.
I haven't either, Kingy.
But, how are you, Ben?
Yeah, we're like ringworm, aren't we? This podcast, we just keep coming back. Have you ever had that?
No.
I've had a few things. I haven't had that, but I've had some other stuff
right. That
you can, that there's some creams can get rid of.
Some ointments?
Yeah, ointment. Ointment. But here we are, a bit like ringworm. We're back for another season, Kingy, unexpectedly. And
unexpectedly?
No, not unexpectedly, but you know, things can grab you by the boo-boo every now and then. And we're looking forward to season 2026. It's hard to believe we're saying 2026, and we're already into February.
Yes.
It's going to be Easter before you know it, and the Cats will be playing the Hawks. But
I'd say, yes, that's less than 8 weeks away.
It's been, has it been, it's probably me, because I'm sort of slightly off Broadway with all the social stuff, but you're not. Has it been very quiet out of the Cats across this summer or not? I know tennis and there's a few other things that have been grabbing you by the boo-boo, the Winter Olympics and other things, but just haven't really heard much from the Cats at all.
Because they're training out at Deakin.
Yeah, the Deakster. You're not allowed out there, are you?
Well, so
a bloke go with his dog and he's whip it good, but you're not allowed to go out there.
No, they don't like it when you just don't tell them you're going out there.
Is that absolutely bizarre? So couldn't you just sit in your car?
Incredible. Yes, of course you could.
And you'd honk the horn when someone kicks a goal?
The only problem is finding a car park, because the issue is the only car park that looks over Deakin is the one that the club uses.
Right.
So media actually have to, and don't start me on this, you have to pay to park to go and watch them train and do the media session.
Yes, which, but that's not ideal.
But don't start me on that.
And they're charging $10 to watch practice matches, aren't they?
Oh, that I don't know.
The AFL.
Are they?
Oh, I think so.
As in what, the match sim games or the community sims?
I think so, yeah.
Well, the match sims aren't run by the AFL.
Oh, right.
The clubs are running them.
Oh, well, maybe it's the community games.
Well, that's
$10.
That's par for the course.
The AFL made like $67 million or something.
But AFL, your club membership gets you in for free.
Oh, does it? Oh, well, that's all right. Well, that story's just been shot out of the water, hasn't it, King?
$10 to go and watch a proper community series game is not. That's not unheard of.
No, probably not.
That's been. Well, if you went to Waverley for a Foster's Cup game back in.
Yes, what, at the Escort Cup?
Which were a brand of.
No, they weren't.
Brand of durries.
That's what they went under, but it was.
Oh, something else. Right.
Yeah.
Do you remember all the iterations of that?
Have you ever been escorted? Have you ever been paid to someone to escort you somewhere?
No.
No, me neither.
So there was the Escort Cup, and there was the.
Yeah, there was the.
Panasonic Cup.
Yeah.
And then the National Panasonic Cup.
That's when the Gaz won the video. Yeah, old boy. I'll have to buy some. The old Gazzy. He went bananas that night.
That was against Carlton.
Yeah. He went bananas that night.
He went nuts.
It was the first time I reckon I ever thought, hey, this guy's a freak.
I reckon that was 1987.
Tommy Elvin was playing, I reckon.
Yeah, 1987. And Jack Edwards, you can find the footage on YouTube, Jack Edwards from Channel 7. And that's one of the last games 7 did before they lost the broadcast rights. They didn't do footy that year.
Right.
And, yeah, Jack Edwards.
Interviewing the great man after the game.
He's won the video player and he goes, have you got, was it video?
Was it
a CD player?
No, it was a V. It was a
VHS.
Yeah, and I think it was
a Betamax.
It might have been a Beta or a VHS, and that's when Jack said to him, you know, have you got any videos? And Gaz goes, I'll have to buy some. Do you reckon he ever bought any?
Probably not.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Do you reckon the video player even made it home?
No, I'm not sure. It would have been hocked somewhere.
He's probably buried somewhere underneath Waverley.
Might have gone onto Gumtree. Gaz might have popped it on Gumtree.
The 1980s version of Gumtree.
What would that be?
The Trading Post.
Grinder.
What?
Oh, that's another one, isn't it?
Yes.
I've gone off track there, Kingy. Hasn't taken us long to go off track, but also hasn't taken us long to get Gary Ablett Sr. into the Cat Attack podcast.
What do you want
podcast.
To talk about, Ben?
Well, I've got my team.
Oh, named.
My best team for this year.
So a couple of things just...
I've come off the long run.
Yeah, our old mate Scotty Gullen stumbled across. So I watched a bit of Geelong train on Monday. but didn't stick around for the bit that was important, and that was that Jeremy Cameron got hurt. So he's got a quad. He had a quad issue, but it's not serious. No, I don't think he's playing against Hawthorne on Monday, but you would hope that he's rolling out in 2 weeks' time.
No, he wouldn't. Park. Would he even be playing against Hawthorne if he was 100%?
Probably not. Well, actually, no, he wouldn't be, because if he was 100%, he'd be playing in the Origin game.
All that aside.
Probably. You still want, because that's match sim. That's the stuff where they.
Yeah, but the way they train now is different.
Yeah, it is.
They don't need to.
I still
be.
Think they'd be playing those blokes.
I reckon he has a, you know, 2.5 quarters in in the game against Carlton.
Yep, and be hopefully cherry ripe for 9 days later.
Yeah, that would be my summation of things.
So he's one that's an issue. You and I have been talking about Toby Conway, and I've asked about the rumours of a navicular issue.
Yeah,
you know, it's not on the mark. It's not a navicular.
That's what they're telling you.
No.
What is it?
Well, he's had knee surgery. And I think
that was last year,
though. And he had some foot stuff done. But it's, yeah.
But whatever's happened,
yeah.
My understanding is there's been a reoccurrence.
Okay.
So he's out for another extended period of time.
What's the over-under on the games he'll play in his career?
Oh, he may not play for Geelong again. Hmm. He just physically is unable to stand up. And when you're 8'11" and you weigh whatever he weighs, which is obviously a bit, and you're having continual knee, foot, you know, lower limb problems, doesn't bode well. I fear that he will never see the light of day, Kingy, for want of a better expression. How many games has he played now?
Ten tops.
Yeah. I mean, let's hope that's not the case, but the fact that he's already... I mean, I knew, like I said, when I heard Mackey talking about the players who were coming back from injury, he never mentioned Conway. Mm. He was banging on about a few others and how great they were going, and, you know, it was all roses, and he didn't even mention Conway, which was alarm bells there, right there and then, that things aren't right. And then, yeah, the whisper was that he has had some sort of reoccurrence, and it happened as soon as he commenced training, effectively. Now, I don't know whether that is 100%, but... the mail I got was, don't expect to see him any time before middle of the year. And that's in the VFL. I mean, we said this last year. The best case scenario was for him to get back late in the year and get a bit of continuity in the VFL, even if it was 4 or 5 games. Get some training under his belt, get some game time under his belt, you know, pull up well, be able to go again the following week. And now we're here, we are another year down the track, and we're saying exactly the same thing. Barring divine intervention, I can't see him playing senior footy this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just coming from so far back. And that's a huge problem with not getting Marshall. The ruck stocks are thin. I don't know. It's an interesting one for the Cats. And, I mean, is he contracted? When's he contracted to?
End of 27.
Oh, right. So he'll at least be around till then.
Yep.
And they'll just be fingers crossed that he can... get something happening in terms of his body coming good, but it's odds against.
He's still only 22.
Yeah. Well, I suppose some would say, you know, Max Gawn, he had his problems and didn't hit his straps to 25, maybe?
All those knee issues that he had.
Yeah. Look, what puts you back so far when you're not playing continuous footy? Ideally now he's played, 4 years? This is his fifth year?
Coming into his fifth year on the list.
Ideally, by now, he's played 35 VFL games and 20 AFL games. He hasn't even... How many VFL games would he have played?
No.
Not many.
No, I can check that.
It wouldn't be many.
No.
I mean, what did he play last year? One?
He played a couple more than that.
It wasn't many. It was three. It was two or three.
He was one of them. He was absolutely dominating until he got hurt.
Yeah, I do recall that. I think he got hurt about, was it early in the second quarter? And his first quarter was enormous.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, it doesn't bode well when you've got continual injuries at that age. And let's hope for the Cat's sake. But I think he can, I mean, you don't never like to say it, but you can nearly rule the line through him for this year. In terms of being an effective and impactful player at senior level. Let's hope he can do that at the VFL level and then pull up and then have a pre-season. That would be even better.
10 in 2022, 3 in 2023.
That's 13 by my maths, Tom.
4 in 2024.
Oh, that's 17. We're up to 17.
And then 3 last year.
So he's played 20 VFL games and 6 AFL games. So 26 games in 4 years. Yeah. That's never good, is it?
No.
That is not good.
They expect Jeremy Cameron. Now, some of these notes I've just got. Jeremy Cameron, when we were just talking about the arm, which has kept him out of State of Origin, and a lot of Geelong fans going, great, would be right for round zero, and we suspect he still will be. Tyson Stengel, we know, has had some time away from the club. He won't be playing in round zero.
Well, is he not likely to be doing anything till middle of the year?
Oh, I don't think it'll be that late.
Has he come back to training in a state that you wouldn't expect of a professional athlete?
He could be in better nick, I reckon.
Joseph.
Yeah.
So he's not in Joseph Goodnick.
No. He will. Yeah, he will need some conditioning.
Yeah.
Jake Collar-Jasny's ramping up.
I love to be ramped up.
Keaton Matafai Forbes has had some foot surgery. He was the one that was
delisted
with a year left on his contract.
So he's obviously on the arse end of the list if he's been delisted.
And Jack Martin had a little foot irritation on Monday, but he's okay. The boys at Play Origin, so that's Holmes, Stewart, Dangerfield, Smith and Humphreys won't play, obviously, on Monday.
Right.
That Hawthorn game.
How's Bailey going?
Well, he's getting lifts to training at the moment.
How fast was he going, do we know?
125 was the...
In a 30-40 zone?
In a 100 zone.
Right.
Yep.
So he's proved to be 135. Because they drop you off a bit, don't they?
They do. No, we don't drop you off 10. If you're doing 135, you're not getting that back to anything less than 130. Mm. The old 10% rule doesn't exist anymore.
I mean, it's hardly crime of the century, but anyway.
Well, I think we're... Oh, yeah, it's not.
I mean, Joel Selwood got done for speeding, didn't he? 128?
Yep.
Out at Siri somewhere, or Moriac, or right that way.
Got to know his bike pretty well.
He did too.
Got the old Molfin Star out.
Can't imagine Bailey just getting the old dragster out with a three-speed... A dragster. I had a dragster. Three-speeder. Like had the little thing on the throat of your vehicle.
Yep.
And you just launch from one to three and you went about half a kilometre faster. That was about it, King.
What's on your note?
So what I've got, King...
I think there's been some sort of epiphany you might have had over summer that you need to be better prepared, but I had an
epiphany on Saturday night.
What was it?
Well, it came...
How many beverages in were you when you had this epiphany?
A lot. But no,
talking about somebody who hasn't come back in the state of a professional athlete, Benny.
Oh, you?
No. Mirror?
Yeah, no, I've had a big summer. I've had a very big summer. It's been enormous, actually. And it continued on Saturday night. I went to the Bowen Club.
Did you?
To see Dallas Crane.
Yes.
And I ended up drinking refreshments with Dave Larkin, the lead singer,
right.
And Steve Pinkerton, the drummer.
How did you?
Until 2 a.m.
How did you end up getting...
Well, I went upstairs with the guy I know is part owner of the Bowen Club and the Belmont, and I ended up just launching upstairs.
Well, that's a great result.
Yeah. It was a great result, a great night.
Yep.
So I was just asking Dave pertinent questions. He loves Essendon. He's a Madison supporter.
Is he?
Yeah. So anyway, no, I had a good time up there.
Why are they called Dallas Crane?
Oh, I don't know why they're called Dallas Crane. They've been around for 30 years anniversary. And I remember going to see them at, they played with, well, they weren't playing, but they were on the bill, big day out back in the 90s, mid-90s with Slipknot. And it was an experience. I'd never seen anything like that before. Slipknot they're not my cup of tea, but God, the crowd was just mad.
They
played about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the crowd were doing the chop and it was a real eye opener.
The old
and
Uncle Chop Chop.
Dallas Crane played that night.
Right.
So anyway, no, it was good. But I did refresh and then I walked home, Kingy. And I refreshed Festival of Sales too. I got absolutely toasted down there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Tim
Rogers was playing with his new band. And so I went down to see that, and then...
His new band, IMU.
No, what are they called? They're called...
I don't know.
Somebody was yelling out that, and he goes, wrong band, wanting to play you and my songs.
No, I was being, obviously, facetious.
Yeah, you were.
Very.
Yeah, I picked it up.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for acknowledging it.
And then there was Bon Jovi cover band playing to finish off the night.
John Bovey.
You know when you do you know when you've had a big night when you have to next day?
Yeah.
Sheepishly look at your blower to see where you've been. No, not see you've run. To see where you've purchased refreshments. Yeah.
Mine
so,
sometimes.
So I've been to Beeves Bar.
Mine sometimes is go back to my Twitter.
Yep.
To see what I've done. You know, this is funny when I'm three sheets to the wind, or who have I rung, or who have I text messaged? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't. Idea. I don't generally get on the phone doing any of that social or texting or whatever when I'm gassed. I just end up in places I can't always remember. It's a bit fuzzy. And anyway, I'd been to Beeves that night, so obviously had a good time there. So I've got my best 22 key, and I've also got another segment which we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's called. It's got a few names, right?
Have you workshopped this?
No, I haven't. So it's called holding the ball, play on, or insufficient intent, right?
I like it, yeah.
So holding the ball is you're gone.
Yep.
It's gone. It's not happening.
Yep.
Play on is I think that's going to happen.
Yep.
And insufficient intent is, you know, it's always a bit of grey area with the insufficient intent.
So insufficient intent obviously will have a different meaning this year.
Well, yeah, because there's going to be no insufficient intent.
Yeah.
Yeah, between the arcs,
yep.
Which makes the ruckman's role, how's that going to work? And they're throwing it up quicker, aren't they?
They are.
So a ruckman going to become obsolete?
No.
You don't reckon?
No, sorry. The rucks that like to jostle and...
Have you ever jostled?
Never played in a ruck band.
I love to jostle. Yeah. I haven't had a jostle for a while, but...
Right. You are an imbecile.
If I did, right?
Well, do you know one thing that hasn't changed?
I've had a big off-season.
You're still 54 going on 15.
Yeah, I know. And there's nothing's going to change, Ed King, and that's what I love because I do love...
No, you're not 54 going on 15. That's our unfair on 15-year-olds. You're 54 going on about 9.
I love a great jostle.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so that's my... this is my... So holding the ball, play on or insufficient intent.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going
to
give
but
you...
But can I just go back to the rucks?
Yeah,
I think a Mark Blitzarves will benefit from...
So do I.
Yep. I think a...
So which means Reece Stanley, I think Blitzarves now has to be Geelong's number one ruckman.
Correct.
Reece Stanley is an absolute break in case of emergency.
Because I think they'll look at De Koning as well, because I think the rules will suit De Koning.
And getting Warple in and getting Tanner Bruin back gives the midfield a little bit more
bright. Tanner Bruin's run the peroxide through the hair too, apparently.
He probably wouldn't want him to be trying to stand out any more than you. You'd be trying to keep a low key, wouldn't you, King?
Well...
Oh, anyway, each to their own. You're going to run a rinse through your bonds?
If only I had something to run it through. Go on.
Do you know that when you knew you would have had conniptions last night because basketball was free?
Was it? What, their square machines weren't working?
Well, something was happening with the Wi-Fi and it was free. And I said to the girl, I said, Neildy's going to be in the fetal position. And she looked at me and thought, and then she realised what I'd said, and I said, "Look, I'll just contact Mark and ask him his bank account details, and I'll drop the 1386 or whatever it is into his account." So if basketball was free last night, I'd say that was a win. That a win.
Can you bring that up on Saturday night on the Origin call?
Well, I said he's not on, is he?
He is.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, Reg.
Reg is on. Yeah, I'll bring it up for sure.
Not off for Reg.
So anyway, that was we buy the buy. So holding the ball, play on insufficient intent. So I've got three topics here, Kingy. You have to tell me which one's holding the ball.
Yeah.
Which one is plan and which one is intervision intent, okay? So I'll give you the three topics.
Yeah.
Tyson Stengel doesn't play a game this year for the Cats.
Insufficient intent.
No, you've got it. Wait, I'll give you all three. How could you know what the other ones are before you?
I'm just guessing.
Don't go off in the holster, Tom.
Right, go on.
Particularly if you're jostling. It's no good, okay? So Tyson Stengel doesn't play this year. Ollie Henry kicks 40-plus goals. And Reece Stanley retires before the season is out. So which one is holding the ball? Which one is play on? Which one is insufficient intent?
Ollie Henry's holding the ball.
So holding the ball, gone, not kicking 40 goals. Okay, you put a line through Ollie.
Reece Stanley is play on.
Right.
And Tyson Stengel's insufficient intent.
So Reece Stanley will definitely retire before the season's out.
Oh, sorry.
That's play on.
Other way around. Tyson Stengel play on. Tyson will play footy this year.
Yeah.
And Reece Stanley is... Oh, look, I don't think it'll happen. It's rare that Geelong have done that. Oh, John, I've never done that.
What's that?
Where players retired before the
season. No, no, I'm not sure the club would retire him, but if Blitzarbs was playing well and he gets an injury or something and he's not playing, he might pull up a pin at round 16.
Why wouldn't you be a $200,000 VFL player?
Well, I'm not saying. I mean, he'd probably still get his paid at his contract, but I'm just saying. I'm not suggesting it's monetary and he's going to retire after round five, but do you think there's a chance that he retires before the home and away is out?
Highly unlikely.
Okay. Well,
because if he's breaking case of emergency.
Yeah, but if he's.
What if he retires?
What's this Mitch Edwards doing we keep hearing about?
Yeah, he's going okay.
Is he a big boy?
Yeah, yeah.
Like physically?
He started to fill out, yeah. I still think he's a year away.
He's only 20, isn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. Yeah, right. So he's ages away, but is he showing a little bit?
Yeah.
Has he been running around with the ones?
That I don't know because I haven't seen enough of what's been going on
right.
down at Deakin. They go back on the GMHBA Stadium next week, by the way.
Yep. Okay. All right, well, there you go, Kingy.
So that's not bad from you.
Well, you cocked it up because you said it was play on, that it was holding the ball, and there was insufficient ten that you didn't realise what was going on.
I don't think Ollie Henry's coming from a long way back.
You jostled. As in, he hasn't had a good preseason.
No, in terms of finding his feet again. Like,
well, yeah, but he's only... If Jack Martin's injured, there's his opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, but Jack Martin's not. It's just an irritation, Benny. We're 2.5 weeks away from...
Yeah, I know, but Jack Martin's irritations can go for a while, I reckon. He's had a lot of irritations over the journey. So let's hope that... I'd like to see Ollie Henry in there instead of Jack Martin.
I know you
anyway, really we'll see what happens. So do you want to do my team?
From the back line?
Yep. Okay, I just want to say, before I do my team, that I have left out some players. So I've left out... hang on, where are they? I've left out Stengel.
Yep.
I don't think he's part of the team early on. So he's clearly, when he's playing well, in their best team, but he's on the outer. He's had a horrible summer. He's coming from a fair way back. I think they'll maybe try and teach him a lesson. Whether the lesson is learnt would be another thing. I don't think he's playing early in the year.
Yep.
So I'm leaving him out, but knowing that he is in the best team. So I'm leaving out Stengel. I'm leaving out Jack Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving out Reece Stanley.
Yep.
I'm leaving out Jed Buse at the moment. I'm leaving out Jack Bowes. And I'm leaving out Jake Colajesny.
Yep.
One of my faves. So yes. Back line.
Yep.
Henry, DeConin, and Guthrie. Stewart, O'Sullivan, Lawson, Humphreys. Dempsey, Warple, Bruin. Myers, Cameron, Manor. Dangerfield, Neil, Ollie Henry. Blitzarves in the ruck, Holmes and Smith.
Yep.
And on the interchange, which is, you know, I mean, it's by the by, they come on after about 2 minutes, but Atkins, Close, Mullen, Clark, and O'Connor.
Okay.
So like I said, I mentioned those players I left out. I don't think I left anyone that was contentious. And I couldn't really see, I haven't seen enough of the VFL, but I don't know that there's a young player who's ready to jump up.
No, there's nobody...
Who's got 3 years under their belt, who's ready to come in and play senior footy. I wouldn't be surprised, Kingy, it's a bit cool. Could this be the first year in a long time, or did it happen last year? First year in a long time Geelong does not have a debutant.
George Stephens debuted last year.
Oh, he did, yeah. He played one game, and then when they won by 800 points, and then he went up to GWS and looked slow as treacle.
Yeah, yeah.
Could this be the year, first year for how many years since Geelong haven't had a debutant? Because
yeah.
I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who's...
So none of the draftees you would think. So, Harley Barker's coming back from
a
knee injury.
Yeah.
Hunter Holmes, yeah, unlikely. Yeah. It's where they're like a Polkinghorne or somebody like that gets a little...
But they're coming from... they're not obvious, though, are they?
No.
That would need to be jumping up out of the ground.
Yeah.
So it could be, Kingy. It's on the cards. You have to look back in the record books. The last time the Cats did not have a debutant.
Oh, Edwards would be the one.
In a season.
I think Edwards would get a look in this year.
Do you think you might just give him a crack in the ruck?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you might
be right. Well, actually, well, no, Will Chai debuted last year too.
Yeah.
So they had a couple.
I can't believe he's still on the list. I can't obviously see what he gives us, but anyway. So that's the team, Kingy. And I did a little thing here where I was thinking of how much other clubs have got, how much room they've got to develop.
Yep.
You know, like you look at Gold Coast and you look at... Adelaide, Brisbane are a different boat because they're at the top of the tree, and unfortunately they've got plenty of room to develop as well with the players that they've brought in and how young they are, pretty much. But, you know, you think of Gold Coast and you look across every line, they've probably got 70 or 80% of their list who's still on the up.
Yep.
They haven't reached their their level, which is a bit frightening. I think GWS, to a degree, has probably got a few of those blokes in the same boat. Finn Callahan, you know, they're on the up. Adelaide is certainly on the up. Fremantle on the up. Yep. There's a lot of clubs there who would look at their list and think, geez, we've got a lot more to offer. Yep. Geelong, my players I thought who could improve in varying levels, O'Sullivan.
Yes.
Is one who I think can really, I mean, he had a fantastic year last year. He can go to another level next year, and I reckon stamp himself as being, this is a big call, but in the, not saying he's going to get there, but one in the conversation best. Of all Australian key defender.
Yep.
That's how good I reckon he's going to be. Lawson Humphreys, I reckon, had a little bit of a down year. I heard him talk about it. He must have done an interview with the club. Was it, I don't know if it was the start of this year.
I think it was when he did his re-signing.
Right.
Because he's extended his contract.
And he spoke about the fact that he thought he had a little bit of a down year. I thought he played all right in the grand final. He's another one that could really, really jump up again this year. Dempsey's pretty good. He's very good. Is he going to... I don't think his improvement is suddenly going to have him... He's a very good player, but there's a little bit of improvement there, but not a huge amount, because I think he's been pretty good. Shannon Neal? What would you classify as improvement for Shannon Neal?
Regular contribution to the scoreboard. He needs to be finding at least 2 goals a game.
Yeah.
And I think, too, becoming more... I think he's got to take more marks.
Yeah, I'd like to see him...
And up the ground. Like he becomes... I think Geelong will push high.
Could he play in the ruck?
Absolutely, he could.
Would you prefer him in the ruck than De Koning? If they were going to do that,
if you had somebody to replace Shannon Neal in the forward line,
well, you've got. I mean, I'm not suggesting he's going to play in the ruck full time, but could he become
a bit of a hybrid Luke Jackson?
Yeah, yeah, that sort of player.
Yeah.
So my improvement for Neal would be to see him play well against good opponents. Yeah. He's sort of, which a lot of players do, he's done really well against maybe some average opponents, average games. Geelong's got the game on their own terms. He's able to be the beneficiary, which is fine. I'm not knocking him, but I'd like to see him maybe just turn a game, influence a game when the chips are down, those sorts of things. I reckon we'll start to see an improvement. Mullen can improve. He's got to find the ball. I know he did some great jobs and we were happy about that, but he has to be able to contribute.
Yep.
Because the instant, if you're in a tag and you're not contributing anything the other way, the instant that tag is, you're being beaten in that tag, you're in trouble. Yeah. You're a man down in the middle. So if he's got to find a way to influence going forward, getting the ball. So can he get himself to a 15-possession-a-game player and use his speed a little bit more? Because he has got high speed, we just don't see it because he doesn't get into position to use it. We've spoken about that before. Can Jai Clark jump up? He's another one I've got.
Well, you'd hope he's got some confidence out of
a little
being
bit
backed in.
And I hope they don't think he's going to make him a halfback.
No.
He's not big enough. Ollie Henry, coming off a really down year, can he bounce back and improve? I think Sam De Koning still has a bit of improvement in him. And I reckon that Tanner Bruin, obviously missed last year, is the other one. The players who I said have maxed out... And I'm not saying they're no good. They're great players. Their best is fantastic, but they're maxed out. They're not. They're either at their absolute level, but I don't reckon that they're going to be able to do it week in, week out. They'll show you glimpses, but I still reckon players like Dangerfield, Blitzer, Stewart, Cameron, Zach Guthrie, probably not going to Holmes. And I'm saying he can't do it, but he's not going to get his best. Is very good.
The only thing that is that
could he kick more goals.
Kick more goals, and obviously his delivery still is.
Yeah, he's got to work on his kicking. But he's at the point where you can't... He's not...
Yeah,
it's like Nick Dacos. He's not going to get any better. No, he's at that level.
Yeah, his improvement for the next 3 or 4 years will only be incremental as opposed to...
It'll be just little traits in his game.
Yep.
Like you said, can he hit targets more? Can he kick a few more goals? Can he be forward or centre?
Because his speed, he will kick a lot of goals, or you hope he kicks a lot of goals. If Blitzarves is getting his hands in the foot on the footy and putting it into space for Holmes to run onto, Holmes will kick goals on the burst out of the middle.
Well, hopefully. And the other ones I had that weren't, that sort of aren't going to improve, but they're very good players, are Smith, obviously, Jack Henry.
I think Smith can improve.
He's just got to stop calling for the ball all the time, which he won't do.
No.
He's not the sharpest.
Well, the other thing is, too,
He calls the ball when he doesn't need to at times.
Yeah, and his teammates have got to recognise.
Yeah, just don't give it to him all the time.
Yeah. And do you know what? He might feel like he's been burnt, but if he's got the right coach coming to him and saying, looking at his edits and going, and he asks a question, he goes, why didn't they give it to me there? And hopefully the coach goes, because it wasn't
the best option. Yeah. No, you're just calling for the ball for the sake of it.
You've got your super coach numbers.
So we're Jack Henry and Mize as the other two. I mean, someone like Atkins you throw in there as well.
Yep.
Close.
Yep. Like to see more consistency. Like, the club says Brad Close does stuff that doesn't get noticed, but Brad Close still needs to influence the contest more than...
A little bit more.
Yeah.
No, I agree. He plays in a position that is difficult. There's times when the ball isn't going to come your way, or you know you're not going to get it 20 times a game. But you'd love to see him just influence the game a little bit more, which is what you know somebody like Ollie Henry was able to do the year before.
Yep.
Even when he wasn't playing well, he'd still bob up and kick two or three goals.
Yep.
Now he's got to try and find a way to get back in. But the other one there is obviously Warple joins the team. Seems like a good citizen. He's not the most skillful of players.
Yep.
He's got a little bit of speed. He can win his own ball. He's sort of got a bigger body. He's not tall, but he's reasonably well put together. He's sturdy around the contest. Can Sean Manner become a full-time midfielder?
Yes.
Well, I hope so, because I think they need to... I mean, if anything was, you know, blatantly obvious, was that our midfield got absolutely hammered in the grand final.
But he's going to look completely different.
Well, not completely.
Well, you throw
Bruin and Warple in.
Yep. And a bit more Manner.
Well, Manner was in a bit, but I agree.
And I think a little less Dangerfield.
Yeah, he's going to play permanent forward. He's had a big pre-season,
and
hasn't he,
and Blitzarv's into the ruck on a probably more permanent basis.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting dynamic.
I really like a starting four of...
Blitzarv, Holmes, Smith, and Atkins.
Yep. Yeah. Or Blitzarv's... Smith, Holmes and Warple.
Yep. I don't mind that.
Yep.
Warple's probably that perfect player to complement Smith and Holmes.
I didn't watch the match sim on Monday. The feedback on Tanner Bruin was very positive.
Well, you'd hope, Kingy, you'd hope after his trials and tribulations that he does have some sort of point to prove. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, you say what you want about Tanner Brewer. My understanding is, and I don't know the kid at all, but is that he was a pretty hard worker.
Yes.
In terms of his football. He wasn't a loafer. So this may just, you know, heighten that to another level. And he was trending to be, we were pinning him before all the, you know, the shit hit the fan. We were pinning him on being, you know, somebody who could really step up in Geelong's midfield last year and be a 25 to 28 position midfielder.
And you wonder what Geelong's midfield. And look, they did make a grand final, but last year...
It hurt them.
Yeah.
They were chasing their ass, for want of a better phrase, in the midfield.
Yep.
And
the fact they got to the grand final...
was a good effort.
Yeah.
They just...
I know we lament what happened on grand final day, but... God. But, the, you know...
Yeah, they got there. They got there, but it was... Then they found out that the midfield was no good.
I don't think they found out. I think they knew that they were just cobbling together what they could last year.
Yeah, in the end they made bad decisions in the grand final in terms of selection. But the other thing too, where we were found out, was probably small defensively.
Yep.
You know, is Mullen going to be that player? Jai Clark, I don't think, is that player. They just don't like Jed Buse for whatever reason.
Why keep him on the list?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've absolutely no idea. It just baffles me. And I mean, to have
Busey's probably getting 200K this year to run around it.
If I go on my team here, so Jack Henry's not. I know he can play in talls and smalls, but he's not really a smallish.
No,
he's a mid-size or a tall defender. Sam DeConing is a tall defender.
Yep.
Zach Guthrie, you don't want him having to lock down somebody who can kick four goals for the opposition. Tom Stewart, exactly the same.
Yep.
Connor O'Sullivan is a tall defender. Lawson Humphreys is like a silkier version of Guthrie.
Yep.
You don't want him having to lock horns with somebody. You want Jed Buse doing
that.
Collar Jasny doing that.
Yep. The best lockdown defender on the Geelong list is Jed Buse still.
And Collar Jasny, I would say. They're not the sexy players. They're not interested in stats. They're the sorts of players who might only touch the ball six times a game and have had a good game, had an influence on the game. And Busey, let's be honest, Busey, he can find the ball.
Absolutely.
He's quite attacking. He's got some speed. He's got power. And to see what happened in that grand final, have him sitting in the stands, and you've got Jai Clark, who had to be shown where defence was on the board before the game. He goes, which ends is that? I've never been down there before. was just sort of baffling. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens. The fact that we have a little bit of depth, we've got, you know, Stengel as a star, but, you know, he's obviously struggling with all sorts of things. Jack Martin, I don't know what we can expect from Jack Martin. Stanley's breaking case of emergency. Bewes is there as a defender. Bowes is there as a bit of a spare parts man. And Colajasny is in there. I think he could... I mean, you're not going to have all 22 available. I think Colajasny can be your eighth defender.
Yep.
And be that... Because none of those blokes in that defence as it is there are locked down.
No.
And every team, particularly the good teams, have that really dangerous or too dangerous... forwards, smallish to mid-sized forwards, who we just, we've got to find a way to be able to curb them.
Cameron and Lohman.
Yeah. Well, even their midfield, my God, they just ran riot.
How hard, are they going to be tough to top winning three in a row?
Oh, I think the only thing that's going to upset them would be injuries, but they had injuries last year and they still
won. They don't have the depth, a few of those guys going too hurts their depth a little bit.
Yeah, they got Oscar Allen in.
Yeah.
Got that Annabelle who dominated apparently.
Yes, yeah, the kid. Yep.
They got the Ashcrofts who are only 14. the only thing that I think, Kingy, in fairness, I think Gold Coast are a big chance. I don't think Gold Coast can win it this year. They're still too inexperienced, but I think they could make a deep run, and they're going to be extremely hard to beat at home. So they could possibly end up with plenty of home finals.
Adelaide
are the other one. I'm still not sure about their defence.
And Freo.
Or their midfield. They didn't do anything in free agency at Adelaide.
No.
I'm still... Look, they will improve, but I'm not convinced that their defence or their midfield is top tier. Mm. But Brisbane, the other thing that you hope as a non-Brisbane supporter that might pull them up is just the mindset.
Yep.
You know, you're off by 3%. I know they talk about three-peat, yada, yada, but if they're off a touch... You know, they're all 15 of them are off a touch and had a bigger preseason. You know, all that sort of stuff. Can they just be off their game to a degree where it impacts their season?
Yep. Questions and comments?
Oh yeah, I love all that, King.
All right, let's go to the KFC X, Benny. I did have that; it's ready to go, and then it sort of disappeared off my screen. Here we go. Please hold caller. Right, there's a couple off X. How is Ben's preseason form? Has he been doing any extra sessions? Well, we actually answered that a little bit earlier. You've had a massive offset.
I've had a big one, Keo. I need to get the horse back under me. Lettuce leaves, plenty of walking.
Feb fast?
I wouldn't go that far. fast. God, I feel fasted. No, I do. I have had put on a few kilos. So I've just got to try and limit the fizzy drinks, which is difficult.
Max Blake, who's had the worst summer, the Cincinnati Bengals or the English cricket team?
Well, probably the English cricket team in fairness, but...
What did the Bengals finish?
Well, they missed the playoffs for the third year in a row.
Yes, but what was their win-loss?
They were 6-11.
6-11.
Yeah.
Are you going to the Rams and 49ers game?
No, I'm not, Kingy.
Not interested?
Well, someone asked me that the other day, actually, and I said, no, I'm not going. And they all looked at me as if I was mad. I followed the game for such a long time.
Yep.
A lot of people will go because it's a novelty.
It's not
a novelty.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pay $200 for a ticket.
You've been to games in Cincinnati.
I've been to two live games, both in Cincinnati. So I don't... Yeah, I can understand someone wanting to go, but I'm not going to drop $200. I'm tipping the tickets will be very expensive.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to go to two teams that I don't particularly like. And... Yeah, I've seen so much NFL footy that I don't need to go.
Yeah.
If someone gave me a free ticket, I'd go, but otherwise I'd
Good work on them getting a good matchup.
Yeah.
As in like a division.
Well, they were always going to do that, Kingy, because most of the West Coast teams are good.
Yeah.
49ers, Chargers.
Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders are shit.
Yeah. Now they've got one thing going for them, Benny. My man.
Who's that?
Genty.
Yeah, well, even he's like Geno Smith and Max Crosby wants out now. So, all those teams, you've got obviously the Rams you're playing.
Yeah.
They're all good teams.
Yeah.
They're all pointy end playoff teams.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was never going to be an East Coast team, which left the door open to be a good matchup.
It was never going to be East Coast for the travel, too.
No, that's right.
They want them.
So they'll play in Brazil, Germany.
Yeah.
It's taking over the world.
Is there a game in Dublin?
I think there was. I think there is.
Croke Park?
It's. I know a lot of people don't like the game, and I understand why, but it's taking over. I tell you that they are making a humongous push to the NFL to go global.
Yep.
And that game of the MCG will be sold out in about 2 seconds.
Global competition?
Well, I don't know what their end goal is, but they're every year they are expanding where they play. You know, and every, I reckon for a block of, in their season, there'd be a block of probably, Daz would know better than me, but probably about 8 weeks in a row where there's an international game.
Yeah.
And somebody, I think I've said this before, but somebody did a video on their phone of the line at the merchandise store in the game in Germany. And it was like they were queuing up for the grand final to get to the AFL. It was monstrous. So they are, well, I wouldn't say quietly is the word. They don't do anything quietly in the NFL, but they are making a big, big push for this to be absolutely global. And with that comes TV rights,
the money
that flows. I mean, their salary cap for a team next year or this year is about 303, I think, or 305 million for one team.
So international series, game here.
Yep.
Game in France.
Yeah, right.
New Orleans.
Which is new, I reckon.
Yeah,
I don't know if they've played there before.
No, with New Orleans, which is smart.
Well, they play at the Tottenham Stadium, is where they play a couple of games usually.
Dallas game will be played at the Maracana in Rio.
Yep.
Two games at Spurs Stadium. A Jacksonville home game at Wembley.
Yep.
Game in Germany at Allianz, and a game in Munich, and a game in Mexico City at the Estadio Azteca. Oh, and one in the Bernabeu in Spain as well.
So that what's that, 8 or 9?
It's 8, I think.
Yeah. It's a big push, and like I said, they obviously have grand plans. I don't know what the end goal is with it, but in terms of generating funds, generating marketing, generating eyeballs watching the game, generating interest, all those sorts of things, it is, which is, you know, the AFL, and the AFL is minuscule compared to the NFL, but we don't have that. Andrew Dillon's going to India.
Yes, he's been.
What do you think he's doing over there?
Kid? Well, don't know.
Do you think the Indians are going to be built for footy?
No.
No. Do you think that it may be an avenue for revenue TV-wise?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you're a billion people.
Yeah.
And
are they going to be interested in it, though?
I don't know. Well, I suppose we have a significant Indian population in Australia.
Do you think if the Cats played in India,
we'd go?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Do you think?
That'd be gold.
In Delhi.
That'd be really good. Can I go on some more questions, Benny?
Yeah, right.
Before you do something and say something that is inappropriate. You right there?
Yeah.
You don't cough at my comment.
I've got a lurgy king.
Howler 41.
Oh, Howler's back.
Not really a question, but an observation. Took my son to the free cats clinic in Warrnambool last week.
Oh, yeah? Howler from Warrnambool? Must be.
Yeah, must be. All Cats players were great, but in particular, Shannon, Neil and Sean Manor were great with my five-year-old, as well as all three Irish boys.
Oh, that's great.
The next day, my son had school off being a prep kid, being a Wednesday, so I also took the day off and we went to the open training. Loch Ness sided jogging around. Jeremy Cameron ran laps like a greyhound without breaking a sweat. Highlight, leaving, and Paddy Dangerfield crossed our path, said, "See you later, men." My son is 5, has no idea who he is, but the 43-year-old me was very excited and glad I wasn't wearing spandex.
How good's that? It's great to hear good feedback, isn't it? Because you generally only hear negative feedback.
I probably need to pass that on to the club too. That's probably, you hope somebody from the club's aware of that.
Yeah, it's great to have a good experience, especially when you take the kids there. And I mean, look, I think 95% of players are really good with all that. There's 5% who aren't.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get it. I mean, Dangerfield's got kids himself.
Yeah.
Geelong are an older group. They've got, a lot of them have got kids.
Yeah.
So they're sort of aware of that and how all that works. And it's great that Howell's had a good day with his junior at the foosball, at the training.
Dudas Maximus, both you gentlemen's nomination for Bolter of the Year at the Cats.
Bolter. What would you classify as a bolter, though? Is that somebody jumping up and playing a senior game, or is that somebody going to another level, or is it? I mean, there's probably ways you can classify a bolter.
Yeah.
How would you classify a bolter?
Yeah, somebody that has maybe been on the fringe that comes and plays a regular role, or somebody who's just been a role player who all of a sudden becomes an important part of the lineup. I don't really have one.
No, I don't.
Oh, look, I think it's an obvious one. Tanner Bruin, I think, is going to be so important. But he's what we know he's best to be isn't really he's not that's not a bolter.
No, it's not a Noah Bolter, is it?
No. I don't have one at the moment.
I'd say an absolute bolter for me then would be, given that their lack of ruck options, would be Edwards.
Edwards, yeah.
And I'm not suggesting he's going to come in and be Max Gorn, but I'm suggesting he may play he may play 6 or 7 games.
He'll play a game for the end of the year.
Yeah, so from a bolter, from somebody who generally probably wouldn't be getting a game, but perhaps will get an opportunity, Edwards. I reckon, as I said, Connor O'Sullivan, I reckon, can go from being a pretty good player mm-hmm. in his second year to being an absolute star in his third. I reckon that kid is that good. Well, the other one, Kingy, I mean, what can Warple do for the Cats? Mm. I mean, he's probably not going to be a bolter, but what influence can he have? He had a bit of a down year last year. Mm. He's a former best and fairest at Hawthorn, albeit when they were crap.
Yeah.
Not taking away from it, but, you know.
And he was a kid. I think he was 20.
I reckon it was 2000. Was it 19? 19.
Yeah, he was only his second year.
So what influence can he have as a but he's not a bolter, but can he get back to some really good form, which sometimes a change of club might do that, and alongside Bruin, suddenly they've got two blokes who can get it 25 times a game. And they're not... Bruin's probably a better user than Warple. He's not a great ball user, Warple. That's not his forte, but he's tough. So I'd say... And you mentioned Polkinghorne. Can Polkinghorne come in and maybe be... Tough gig, though, when he's looking at taking spots of Myers, Manor, Dangerfield, Jack Martin, maybe Ollie Henry, Dempsey.
He plays taller than that.
Well, he's not going to get in above Cameron or Neil.
No, it'll come down.
It'd be very hard forward line to get into.
It
as
would
a kid.
Come down to whether Neil spends a bit more time up the ground as a ruck, and Polkinghorne can come in and play the second tall option.
Maybe.
Rapid fire 7 overall. Given the teams, players, coaches, and opportunity we've had this century, do you think we should have won another 1 to 2 flags? For me, the biggest blown opportunities were 08 as well as the 19 and 24 prelims, which would have surely led to premierships if they'd gotten through. 08 we know about. 2013 is the one for me, to lead Hawthorn by 4 goals at 3-quarter time.
Yeah.
And would have won the flag the next week.
Well, 08 was an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, that was just a cock-up of the highest proportions.
Oh, that was a one that got away. 24, I reckon, was...
Yep.
24 was one that got away.
Yeah, 24 and 13 are the two prelims that really stick out for me.
They had Brisbane on toast in that game.
Yeah.
Absolutely on toast. And they weren't able to seal the deal. 13, was 13 when they got beaten by Freo?
Nah. They lost...
At home?
Yeah, in the qualifying.
Yeah.
Came back, beat Port Adelaide in the first semi.
Yeah.
In the semi. Chappie got suspended.
That's right.
And they had Hawthorn by four and a bit goals, 3-quarter time, and got rolled.
It got rolled. Yeah. Look, it's... Yeah, there are a couple there, King, you'd like to have your time over again.
Guess what?
Can't.
They make windscreens bigger than rearview mirrors for a reason, Benny.
Yes. Been pretty good ride, though, when you're talking about the ones that got away, and you've got about four of them.
It's been a great ride.
Do you reckon St Kilda to talk about the one that got away? St Kilda fans?
Yeah. The last 20 years. So this is... If you start at 07, this is the 20th year of...
What's your expectation of the Cats this year?
Oh, they'll play finals. I don't think they're winning the flag.
Where would you think they could finish?
Bottom half of the eight. The first month of the season is going to tell a lot. Well, the first 6 weeks.
So we kick off with Gold Coast.
Up there.
Then we've got two at home, haven't we?
Freo.
And Adelaide.
Either side of a bye.
That Adelaide game, yeah, they're two tough games. But at home, you'd like to think Geelong are good enough. But, yeah, they are very tough games.
Hawthorn at the MCG.
Yeah, that's a big game.
Eagles in Gather Round in Adelaide. Yeah, they'll win that.
Yeah.
Doggies here.
Yeah, well, that's Doggies go well here. Geelong... They actually, I know Geelong beat them last year, but I reckon they were a bit lucky.
Yep, and Port Adelaide over there.
Yeah, I reckon they're going to be shit. So you probably could.
You want to be 4-3,
but still away.
You'd want to be
if they
get out that 4-3.
If I don't think they're winning round one.
No.
If they somehow lost and were 1-2, and then lost to Hawthorn and go 1-3, they'd be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's why I reckon 4-3s. If they got out of that four, if they get out of the first 7, 4-3,
yep.
I think it's a good result.
They're in a position to have a crack.
Anything better than 4-3
is a real good result.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I tell you the club I think they'll come back. Well, where'd they finish last year? I'm trying to think. Who did Brisbane beat in the prelim? Collingwood.
Yeah.
I think Collingwood dropped back this year.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. She's a brutal competition, though, Kingy. You never know.
No, you don't.
You get some injuries or you get this and that.
No, you don't.
Geelong, what, like a 10 at home?
Yep. And their one game in Melbourne is against Collingwood.
At the G?
At the G.
And that's a home game for the Cats.
Home game, yeah.
Do they play Collingwood twice?
Yes. Both at the G.
No, I agree. I think Collingwood, a bit on the nose, a bit old.
Geelong's finish is... Look, if they can be... So what are we? 23... We're 23-game season, Benny, just as a reminder.
Oh, yeah.
If Geelong can be 9-7 or not... If they're 9-8 or even 10-7 with 6 to go, this is their last 6. St Kilda here, Melbourne at the G, Collingwood at the G, Essendon here, North Melbourne... at Marvel and Richmond here.
Yeah.
And that would get them to... I reckon if Geelong... I'll give you Geelong's win-loss record. I reckon they go 14-9.
Which puts them probably about 6th or 7th.
Correct.
Yeah. They've got... Yeah, you're probably right. If you just need to pinch that odd game, don't you? But they'll lose a game like last year they lost to St Kilda. Yeah. They'll lose a game you don't expect them to, and they'll probably win one you don't expect.
But
them
like beating Adelaide and Gather Round, I don't.
Yeah,
that was an unexpected.
Especially when they were about 4 goals behind.
Yeah.
They didn't win that game by about 4 goals.
Hmm. It's one of the best. I reckon that's one of the more enjoyable halves of footy I've had in a commentary box that second.
Yeah, round. And it was good, really good footy. I mean, it was did the Cats give about 19 goals?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the ball absolutely.
It was absolutely flying around, Kingy, wasn't it?
Men's life.
I've got a joke, Kingy.
Have you?
I've got a joke.
That's great. I haven't finished here, though.
All right, sorry.
Can I finish that?
I've got a funny joke.
And that Daz Broncos.
Oh, Daz is on board. He'd be disappointed. The Broncos went out.
So he's stolen this from Lethal Weapon. They're back, they're bad. They golf like hacks, and Benny's NFL team is sad.
Yeah, well, I can't argue with you, Daz. Your team was almost there.
The Broncos missed a Super Bowl appearance because of a Bo Nix busted foot in the last minutes of the divisional game. So
bit of angst too amongst the Broncos. The Bo Nix wasn't happy with the coach.
Yeah. On to the real stuff. How do you think the new 5-on-the-bench rule will be utilised by the club? Given the ruck void we have, are we better to protect a Mitch Edwards type by rotating him as a burst type player for short periods while he develops? How the clubs use that fifth now spot is going to be really interesting with that additional interchange.
Well, I just use it as an additional interchange, won't I?
But yeah, but does it give you
just means it gives you more rotations? Yeah, more players are fresher.
No, it's not more rotations.
No, but it just gives you an ability to take players on and off.
Yeah, but you're still limited by your interchange.
Yeah,
cap.
The numbers.
Yeah,
but you will be able to have an extra. There'll be less time on the ground for certain players.
Or are we better to run an extra midfield type to give clearance, support, and effort as the game goes on? Welcome back, Cotter. You were both old enough to get that reference.
Yes.
Well, I just
welcome back.
Well, I just think of the Pizza Hut ads.
Welcome back, Cotter. I was old enough to watch Welcome Back, Cotter.
Horseshack.
Yeah,
it's absolute horseshack. I'll get that into a call this year.
Horseshack.
That umpire's decision was absolute horseshack.
It was absolutely went Rhett Bazzo on him.
Yes. Now, Benny, the podcast could finish now.
Yes. Now, I've got a joke, and it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be edited in any way, shape, or form, Kingy. So, a guy, right?
There was this guy.
No, it wasn't this guy. There was this guy, and he was robbing a bank, right? Oh, this appealed to me, okay? Maybe I'm a bit dark with my humour, but the guy robbing his bank, and he was a bit of a novice, but he burst through the doors, had his gun in one hand, and he had his balaclava on, and he dripped over, and his balaclava came off. So he stands up, puts his balaclava back on, grabs his gun, and orders everyone onto the ground. And he says to the first guy on the ground, he goes, have you heard this? He goes, did you see my face? And the guy on the ground goes, yep. So he shot him. The second guy lying next to him, he goes, did you see my face? And the guy goes, yep. And he shot him. Got to the third bloke in line, and he goes, what about you? Did you see my face? And the bloke paused, and he goes, no, but my wife did.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.